it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
Good morning. I love the show. You guys pump me up every morning on the way to work.
Listen to ourselves.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We want to pop you up.
Go, Bills! Let's go!
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
I love Buffalo. Go, Bills!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Football Friday. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Couple things for you here. We're going to remember some Jets.
Yes.
Including a name that is one of the biggest busts of all time. That might not get mentioned enough.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you that.
Well, the biggest bust biggest of all time.
The Jets have one of the biggest busts ever.
Oh, and are you talking about?
You're going to say like Todd Marinovich?
No.
Okay, no.
Christian Hackenberg?
No. He was a second round pick,
Second round pick that never touched the field.
Okay, I've got an argument
and
for.
Had like a hospitality tent like EJ did, but even worse.
A Jets player that ends up being one of the biggest busts of all time.
Okay.
I'm going to like go through his pro career.
Christian Hackenberg was a second-round pick who was listen to this. He was never active for a game.
Great. This is worse.
Never put on a jersey. This is worse?
This is worse. I think there's a worse one.
All right.
But first, I had a thought last night during the Amazon Prime broadcast. I watched some of the Next Gen Stats broadcast, the Prime Vision broadcast, with all the stuff. Amazon shows you more of the field than other broadcasts do. You get to see the secondary.
Yeah.
You get to see the receivers.
But it's not all the way back. It's not like the all 22, though.
No.
It's closer than that, but you still get to see the whole field.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's superior. It's really, really good. Anyway, I had a thought. It occurred to me last night, Herb Street, who I think is very good at what he does. He's a great analyst in college football.
Yep.
He's on the pro side of it.
I like that he brings his dogs onto the broadcast.
Sure. I like him just fine. Last night I realized I said something about him last year, and what I said about Herb Street is the problem is he's been on college broadcasts. He's been in the video game forever as well.
Yep.
Now he's on the NFL, and when I hear him, I never feel like I'm hearing anything new. It feels like the analysis could be just AI generated for a video game that I'm watching. There's never anything new about it. And that's not correct. It just kind of feels that way because of the – last night, I identified what it is about Herb Street that kind of, I think, is the problem.
Okay.
I say this as someone who, whatever, has plenty of problems professionally and does bad habits. Here it is. Kirk Herb Street never once will allow there to be silence on a broadcast. You're watching a game, you get Buck and Aikman, famously Summerall and Madden. You get these pairs where sometimes the crowd can just be the game.
Yeah.
A lot of times announcers get credit for laying out on a moment. Al Michaels, doesn't matter what he's talking about. Beautiful moon out here in Green Bay on a beautiful night.
Yeah.
Herb Street's on it. He won't let it go. Second and seven, pass goes incomplete. It might be a play where there's nothing to say. Sometimes there's an NFL play that happens, and you don't have to say something.
Right. A two-yard run up the middle.
He will not allow there to be ever – he's not ever turning down an invitation to speak. Ever. Watch him call
like
a game.
He's afraid of the –
yes.
Of
watch
the
him call
space.
A game
yeah.
and recognize that he will never let there be silence. From his microphone.
Yeah.
There won't be, the broadcast doesn't breathe when Herb Street's on it, ever. So that's what I noticed last night.
Well, I don't like that.
He's doing what he thinks is the job. But sometimes, hey, third and four, second and five, the pass falls incomplete.
Right.
You don't have to say anything.
Right.
On every play. Anyway, there you go.
He also doesn't know the league still. Once in a while, you'll notice, like, you're still making these little mistakes where, like, you feel like you haven't watched the NFL for more than, like, a year. So, but I don't like this part of it either.
All right, you want to remember some Jets?
Yes.
This is a fun game. This is a fun game. Chris Brown just texted me a list of Jets busts. And?
How long's the list? Is it, three pages long?
He's got five. Not listed.
Let's see.
This is one of the biggest busts in league history, and it doesn't get mentioned.
So it's not going to be Zach Wilson.
It's not Zach Wilson.
Because that's recent, and that gets mentioned. It's not, would you even call Darnold a bust? For them, you would. I guess.
Sure.
Biggest the bust in league
remembering
history.
Some Jets. This is a huge bust.
Was it like an early first round pick?
Yeah.
How early?
Sixth.
Sixth.
You might get it once you know the sixth overall pick.
Wasn't Mark Sanchez sixth?
He was, I believe. It's not Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
No, Sanchez went later than that. No, wait a minute. No, you're right.
That's about right.
It's not Sanchez.
Okay. Sanchez went fifth.
Chris wrote in Johnny Lamb Jones, Roger Vick, who is a first-round fullback, Blair Thomas, Kyle Brady, and Browning Nagel.
First-round fullback?
No.
What year was that? I want to find out what year that was.
I looked up this guy.
87.
Okay. I looked up, remember some Jets. Hey, just tweet at us. Let's remember some Jets. It's part of Football Friday.
Yep.
I had this name as my obscure guy to look up. And then I thought, all right, well, I remember him not doing much. How much did he do? Your next clue.
Okay.
They drafted this player to get after the quarterback. And sixth overall in his career.
Uh-huh.
He did not sack the quarterback a single time. Sixth overall pick.
Zero sacks. That's worse than... See, when you said that, this is not going to be correct. The first name that popped into my mind was Aaron Maben. But he played for the Jets. That's why I thought of it.
Yeah.
And he had sacks. He didn't have zero. Didn't he have a six-sack season with the Jets? Zero
Aaron
sacks.
Maben
sixth overall.
Is the 11th overall pick.
11th. I thought he had like a five or six-sack season with the Jets.
He did.
Yeah, okay.
Maben had, in his career,
more than zero.
Six sacks with the Jets in one season. Here's your point.
Was that it?
This is a bigger bust than Maben. Maben played 2 years for the Bills, no sacks.
Right.
This guy played 3 years for the Jets.
No sacks.
No sacks. The sixth overall pick.
Is it recent?
Relatively. I mean, I remember him.
Hmm.
You ready for it?
Yeah, go ahead.
2008. The 2008 NFL draft started with Jake Long, Chris Long, Matt Ryan, Darren McFadden, Glenn Dorsey, and then the Jets select...
That's the Favre Jets team. Who'd they draft?
Vernon Golston.
Oh.
Sixth overall.
I remember that name.
3 years.
Yeah.
No sacks. Done. Out of the league.
Yeah, that's
gone.
That's about as bad as it could ever possibly get.
Can you imagine...
How many games did he play?
Vernon Golston, he played... 15, 14, and 16.
How do you know?
45 games as the sixth overall pick.
How does the quarterback not accidentally run into you?
Or run out of bounds next to you?
Right, right. One of those where you don't even get your hand on him, but you forced him out.
Pro Football Reference credits Vernon Golston with one career quarterback hit.
That might be worse. I know zero is a big number, but one quarterback hit. It's pretty tough.
Yeah. Maben.
Man.
Maben hit a quarterback with the Bills once. Maben's credited with 10 career quarterback hits.
Man.
Yep. So there you go.
Let me look here. 2008 Vernon Golston.
Sixth overall defensive end.
He had...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In 3 years, PFF, he had 323 pass rushes. And he had one. He hit the quarterback one time out of 323. I'm willing to give that. It's Mount Rushmore
a bust.
That's got to be
a bust that we just kind of forget about.
That's pretty like tough. Mind-bogglingly bad.
Right. How do you not accidentally hit the quarterback more than once?
That seems crazy.
You know, let's rank the NFL's biggest busts.
But he did hurry the quarterback 15 times.
Oh, hey.
He hurried him. He might not have hit him, but he hurried him.
He just yelled, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
The top 10 busts, like Justin Blackmon, Steve Entman, Heath Shuler. I'm in a site for
Justin
CBS.
Blackmon, yeah.
Heath Shuler, Lawrence Phillips, Charles Rogers,
okay.
Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Akili Smith.
Yep.
Ryan Leaf, and Jamarcus Russell. You're going to get quarterbacks at the top, but man, it's sixth overall defensive end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, remember some Jets. Who else you got?
How about Sean Green?
Oh,
that running back.
That
two ends on Sean Green. I think he was their starting running back when they. Well, not starting. It was him and Tomlinson when they went to the AFC Championship.
Okay.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson's always like one of my favorite names.
Very good.
To just remember.
You ever see Fitz tweet about that?
What?
He tweeted how many. Somewhere along the way, Fitz tweeted. You know, I texted the wrong John. I discovered of all the names in my phone, John's 32, DeBrickashaw's 1.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Classic Fitz tweet.
How about Dustin Keller? Nice tight end name there.
Okay.
Al Toon.
Oh, yeah. Al Toon back in the day.
Really good. Yep.
Remember some Jets. Give me I want here.
A player that I really...
Aaron Glenn.
A player that I really liked growing up because he was really small and he was a wide receiver, and that's like what I...
Wayne Corbett?
No.
No.
Little, because he's a little bit before my time.
Lavernius Coles?
Santana Moss.
Okay.
Loved Santana Moss.
He was awesome. John Abraham was on that team for a little while, and I thought I always kind of liked him for some reason as an edge rusher. I don't know why.
I.K. and Mpale.
Oh, the right heard around the world.
Bunch Geno Smith.
And then the Bills made him a captain.
Yes.
Listen.
What a time. Why don't we just give the C to the guy, for this game, of course.
He broke the starting quarterback's jaw.
We're gonna put him out there in midfield. He broke your quarterback's jaw. Jeez. Anthony Becht. I saw he has a son playing quarterback in college football.
Okay.
For one of the big, I think a bigger program, too. Arizona State, maybe? Tight end Anthony Becht. He's got a son playing quarterback.
Well, this has been Remember Some Jets. We can get off to the rest of the games. Not that many memorable Jets. I mean, there's probably way more.
Your Braylon Edwards. Ray Lucas, we just got a tweet in. How about Lamont Jordan?
I'll take your word for it.
Lamont Jordan?
Yeah.
He was good. He was a good running back. Thomas Jones?
Yes.
I mean, I could do the running back game for a while here. I mean, there's Ty Johnson, who went into a year as their starting running back. But I think he got hurt pretty quickly early on in that. Chris Ivory? Former Jet? How about... Who else at quarterback here? Who's the first Jets quarterback you can remember?
Joe Flacco.
The very first one?
Yeah.
In my mind, the very first Jets quarterback I'm watching, I probably saw a little bit of Ken Anderson.
Okay. Mine would be Testaverde. So early 2000s. He's at the end of his career, I think, by then, right?
I thought you just meant the first Jets quarterback that comes to mind, and Joe Flacco just
like the
just
first one you
there.
Remember watching.
Yeah.
How about Tim Tebow?
We should find it.
There's a clip somewhere. Now we probably can't play it because it's probably swearing. But there's Jets fans yelling at Mark Sanchez as he leaves the field. Like, they are just yelling at him, obscenities, whatever. And then as Tebow approaches the tunnel, the Jets fans all start yelling, "Tebow! Tebow, save us!" That's where they were at.
Yeah.
That's probably within their drought, too.
Right. Gotta be, right? After Sanchez, yeah.
Wow. How about their leading receiver in 2012 that also is a former Bill? Jeremy Curley.
Whoa.
I think he started for the Bills and they cut him because he stunk.
First quarterback I remember has got to be that, yeah.
Santonio Holmes with the Jets for a couple of years.
Why do Santonio Holmes, Lavernius Coles, and who's the other guy you mentioned?
Santana Moss.
Why do the three of them, for me, they're the same person?
Because they're all small.
Yeah.
Santonio Holmes. They were all relatively about as good as each other, right?
They're crafty receivers. Was Santonio?
Yeah.
Are you sure Santonio Holmes was small?
I'm going to guess he was like 5'10". That's my guess. Yeah, I'm going to guess small.
All right. 5'11".
Close.
Weren't they all relatively about as good as each other? They're all pretty good receivers. Holmes had like a legendary
touchdown catch.
And drive, yeah, right?
I remember Holmes the most out of them.
Didn't he catch five passes on that game-winning drive for the Steelers? There's a clip, like an NFL Films clip, of like as that drive is beginning, Cardinals-Steelers, and the Steelers got to go drive down to win.
Yeah.
And Holmes is like telling Roethlisberger before the drive, like, give me the ball. I'm going to get open on every play. And then Roethlisberger threw it to him five times, this and he caught the game-winning touchdown.
This is where I say, I can't not say it. It's really unfortunate they forced the ball to him. Sorry. Can't not do that.
Have you ever seen that touchdown? He forced the ball.
He did.
There were three Cardinals in the area, and they still made the touchdown.
The thing I was thinking before that thought overtook my brain was this. In Arizona, are there Cardinals fans walking around with the name of the defensive back that covered him on that drive? Like, we walk around with 13 seconds, or Bills fans say Ronnie Harmon. Is the Arizona defensive back responsible for covering Santonio Holmes on that drive just someone they talk about all the time?
It's possible. Right, if he just burned
five
one
catches
guy,
and a touchdown to lose the Super Bowl?
I think it was five, but yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, I mean, we would, right?
Yes.
Like, imagine the Allen gets the QB sneak. I'm going to present a very painful hypothetical. Allen gets the QB sneak against Kansas City. The Bills beat him. Okay? They go, or Kincaid catches it, whatever. They go on to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl. They're up at the end of the game. And Devonta Smith
just rocks Rasul Douglas' world five times.
Elam. Five catches on Elam on the final drive, and he catches it to win. You think Elam is, like, thought of poorly maybe now because he was a draft bust? He would be public enemy number one for, like, decades. But I don't know who that Cardinals player is.
Curtis in Niagara Falls wants to remember some Jets. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? You guys doing?
Good.
You guys, like, you're naming all these Jets, and I said, they're killing me. They're killing me. Because I'm not a Jets fan, but growing up, I used to see a lot of their games, and I cannot think of the broadcaster's name to save my life. Famous broadcaster. But he'd always say, Mickey Schuler. And that's the only reason I know Mickey Schuler, tight end for the Jets.
Mickey Schuler. Thanks, Curtis. Let me look up Mickey Schuler. Yeah, there he is. Big 82. That's a tight end. That is a tight end. He looked 6'3", 232. Mickey Schuler played in the league until 1991.
Here's a remember some Jet trivia. Let me put it this way. Can you remember he's a Jets wide receiver who was a second-round pick who had 20% of his career production in one game against the Bills?
A wide receiver that's a Jet that had 20% of his career production against the Bills.
In one game.
By the way, remind me, I've got an all-time great memory of Bills-Jets in a moment that from the drought.
This game was in 2013. Do you remember the Stephen Hill game?
Oh, Georgia Tech's Stephen Hill.
Yeah.
Second round pick.
He had three catches for 108 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
In a 7-point win over the Bills. And I think I remember the name of the corner that was getting destroyed.
He was a tall, lanky receiver.
Yes. Fast too, right?
Yeah.
I think the name of the corner that was getting burned over and over again by him was Ron Brooks.
Ooh. LSU, Ron Brooks?
Yes. I think that's the guy.
Okay.
I think that's the game. I think that's the guy.
Bills, sixth round pick?
Probably about fifth or sixth.
I'm checking it now. Yeah, Ron Brooks, LSU.
Okay.
And he was a fourth round pick, 2012.
Yeah, Stephen Hill only had 590 yards in his entire career. He had 108 that day against the Bills.
Jason in West Falls, quickly remember some Jets. What do you got, Jason?
90 draft, Blair Thomas.
Blair Thomas.
Taken second overall, was supposed to be a great running back and just ended up being a huge bust.
Yeah. Penn State's Blair Thomas.
What is it, a running back?
Yeah.
Running back.
Second overall,
he had 2,200 career yards in six seasons.
Yeah, his career high was 728. It makes me want to look up Blair Thomas Penn State highlights.
Is this going to be like one of those, you picked blank over Jordan?
You want to do
maybe,
that?
Maybe
it's the 1990 NFL draft. They went second overall with a running back. That's something the teams did. Jeff George went, here's your answer, Joe. The very next player went to the Hall of Fame.
That's what I'm looking for.
And a player selected fifth overall went to the Hall of Fame.
Perfect.
It went Jeff George 1, Blair Thomas 2, and then Hall of Famer Cortez Kennedy went 3rd.
Okay, guess what? I just pulled up that draft. Guess who the next running back picked after Blair Thomas was?
Do you have it? Emmitt Smith.
The
Jets.
Hey, the Jets picked a running back. The next pick went to the Hall of Fame, and the next running back picked was the league's all-time leading rusher.
That's good. That's really good. All right, we got to get to the games, the actual games themselves. It's the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. The Bills that year took James Williams, defensive back James Williams. So there you go. All right, we'll get a break in. We'll get you through these matchups and take you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, where we expect to get an update on Ed Oliver from Sean McDermott. So stay tuned here on WGR on Football Friday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.